Hey guys, Tim here. Wanted to jump in and give you an opportunity. You can support our show. I don't know if you know this, but the number one way podcasts spread and grow is through referrals. It's through people telling their friends, hey, I found this podcast and I love it and I think you'll love it too. And so if you've been listening to this show for a while and you love it, share it with your friends. Tell everybody you know about it. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing that, but maybe you're not. Send a link. Send us something out to one of your friends. All the apps make that super easy. Just share it. And if this is your first time listening to this show, do that too. Just give it a shot. Send it to some people. Act like you love it and then listen to it. And then maybe you'll regret it. Maybe you won't. Who knows? Maybe it pays off for you. But yeah, just go ahead real quick before this episode starts. Hit share. Tell your friends about it. And then that will go a long way to help this show grow and continue to be here for the next 70 years. We're not going to live that long.
Hey, this is Things I Learned Last Night. This week's episode is about Rudolf Diesel, who created the diesel engine. It's a really great episode about his backstory and how he created it, what it is, and then also some conspiracies about what happened to him in the end of his life. Yeah. So interesting topic. I like it a lot. You'll love this episode. This weekend, I am in San Angelo, Texas, you know, the crappy part of Texas. And then I'm in Bloomington, Indiana, the crappy part of Indiana. And then next weekend, I'm in the worst part of Idaho, Coeur d'Alene. If you like stand up, if you like laughing and stuff, you're going to like my shows and also this episode. So you're going to learn some stuff and we're going to laugh a little bit. So anyway, anything else you want to add? Start it.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of Rudolf Diesel?
Yeah. Yeah, I have. He gathered around the North Pole and he said, this is for family.
I saw your eyes think of that joke. I've been studying this guy for weeks and I have not thought of that joke until I connected with your eyes. And it was like,
you saw it come together.
It was like our brains.
You saw Santa racing for pinks in the sled, right?
And Rudolph behind a Pontiac Trans Am
off a mountain and into a plane.
It's like rolling through the air. Everybody else in the car is like Dasher and Dancer in the back seat. Just we caught so many fish. The guy told us to throw the boat.
We pulled this guy into the boat. We're like, there's no room in the boat, but there's a manger out back.
Hey guys.
Make sure to smash that like button. And you're like looking around the room. You're like,
you do the education. I do the good bits.
Things I learned last night.
Prancer and Vixen.
And they're like, why are we flying? We can do that. Why are we driving?
Why don't we just get out of this car?
Why are we in the car? It's so much more dangerous for
us. Really don't know how, like, our legs don't work in these.
Yeah, our legs are so awkward. Yeah. This is not our anatomy.
Was it you who didn't think reindeer were real? Who was I talking to that they were like, wait, those
definitely
are real?
Wasn't me.
Those are real animals?
Definitely wasn't me.
Oh, man. Felt like it was you.
They seemed dumb like
but
you.
But yeah, I've seen that movie.
They seemed on your level.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, well, wasn't me. So Rudolf Diesel was born in March 18th, 1858. He was not the reindeer. Oh. Different Rudolf.
Speaking of 1858.
Yeah?
Well, probably a few years after that. We're going to a theme park.
Yeah.
That's based in the 1800s.
Based in the 1800s, yeah.
It's called Silver Dollar City. And it's in Branson, Missouri. Mm-hmm. You if you don't know where that is, ask your grandma. And it is... we're doing a Tillin' Live, if you don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've said it a lot. I'm sure you'll hear mid-rolls for it,
yep.
You know?
Yep.
But we really want to make sure you know about it.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
May 18th, 2024. We're going back into May 18th, 1800s. It's ambiguous. It's purposely vague because there's some things that make you think it's, you know, early 1800s and other things that are like, this is
1899, turn of the century. We're at the end of it. It's a great park. We're going to ride rides.
It runs the whole
do the show.
Century.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's fun.
So come out. You're welcome. You're invited. Bring a friend.
You're invited. Tell someone. Come and see.
Come and see. All right. He was born in March 18th, 1858.
We're here for our best year yet. Remember when you were on staff at a mega church?
I do remember.
Didn't that suck? It was really hard for me.
Was it?
Yeah, it wasn't fun talking to you back then.
Yeah, yeah. You were on staff at a mega church once.
Yeah, and there was a reason that I wasn't anymore. No, I'm just kidding. I love mine. Mine was great. I just had to move.
You think mine wasn't?
Anyway, May 18th, 2024.
Okay, so he was born March 18th, 1858 in Paris, France. It was from German descent, though.
Okay.
And his family did an interesting thing right after he was born that I don't know if is allowed. I mean, it's 1850s, so it might have been allowed in the 1850s.
Sure.
But they said, hey, what if there was this local farmer family and you lived with them for like 9 months? They... I don't think it was like, hey, you keep him for 9 months. It was like, hey, you can have this kid. And then he spent his first 9 months of his life...
You're my son now.
...with this farmer family. And then 9 months later, his family showed back up and was like, all right, I think we want him now.
So it's basically like, did you train him how to sit?
Did you teach him all this
stuff? Is he housebroken?
Yeah, you broke him in yet?
All right, we'll take him back.
Yeah, it was a freaking trainer. It was a baby trainer that they took him to.
That got Tim so good. And then he's like freaking
treats.
He goes, come on. And then he rolls over.
He knows all the tricks.
Yeah.
That's like a, there was a, never mind.
Talking about that video game kid?
No, there was a commercial recently where they did that with the baby and
yeah.
Oh no, it was a movie.
Yeah,
it was a movie. The baby and the dog. It was the Christmas spots. Movie. Yeah, that was a good movie. All right, anyways,
Fast and Furious 7. Where one of the babies got Freaky Friday with a dog.
With a dog. I'm like, this is a weird side story.
I love that Freaky Friday is a verb. That's a fun time.
Me too. So he went back home, lived with his family for a few years.
Did you watch the, what was it called? The Vince Vaughn killer movie? Maybe, I feel like it was like Freaky Friday the 13th or whatever it's called. It's like, that's essentially... Essentially what happened was they sat around, they were like, what movie do I want to make next? And someone went, Freaky Friday the 13th? And someone was like, oh, okay, so it's a knife killer, but they've got... Did you see that movie?
No.
What was it called? It was actually... It was funny. It was good.
Really?
Vince Vaughn plays a killer who stabs his victim, the girl, and then they get Freaky Friday'd. And so now the girl is in this... old guy's body, and then the girl.
This is old guy to you.
I'm looking at you. And then the girl is the killer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so Vince Vaughn has to go to his friend, his high school buddy friends. He's like, guys, no, seriously, it's me. Like, it's a very funny plot. I thought it was pretty well done.
That's pretty good.
Does
it go like back in time?
No. That one you're thinking of. Is a different... No, I was seriously about to bring it up. No. Okay. Wait, Alex, do you know what I'm talking about? Am I a crazy person right now?
It's Freaky Back to the Future.
Okay, so no, Vince Vaughn is in a movie. I don't remember what it's called. Sorry about that. This is really bad promotion. But there's another movie, which straight up is Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Where her mom's friend was killed when she was in high school.
Oh, so yeah. I told you about this one. Yeah,
that one was fun too.
Interesting.
I don't remember what either of them are called, but they were fun movies.
Yeah. Back to the Murders.
Yeah.
Back to the Murders in the Building.
I do know it was brought to you by Doritos.
Okay. So he gets picked back up by his family.
Talk about slashing prices.
We're slashing prices and your neighbor Bryce. We're slashing prices and
that's
Bryce.
It's a Bryce slicer right there. All right.
Speaking of slicers, the other night I experienced a horror movie in real life. I've been waiting to tell you this, and I'm so glad I remember.
Rudolph Diesel was born on March 18th.
No. Okay, I fell asleep on my couch watching a documentary.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up probably like 10:30-ish, mm-hmm. give or take. And so I wake up, I'm like, oh, I gotta go to bed. I'm kind of groggy. I let the dogs out, start kind of like cleaning up and getting ready for bed, you know? And I hear my dogs like barking bloody murder outside. They were barking the word bloody murder. I was like, who taught him that? It was that farmer family I left him with for 9 months.
Dude, Alex is, I can literally feel Alex in there typing like, oh my gosh, man.
Stupid.
The last episode was long, and he's like, this episode's not going to be any
it's
shorter.
It's going to be long. It's what it says. It's going to be long.
We're in for a long one.
No, so I go outside. The dogs are barking like crazy. I get outside, and I hear the sound of a guy talking. Like, and so like I get outside, and I walk over to my fence so I could like see over the fence and see what's going on. There's a guy at the end of the block, and it's night, and so it's dark, so I can't.
He's like standing in the street lamp.
I can't see him clearly. Like I see his silhouette, you know, like it's like that kind of dark. It's a what was it? It was like a waxing crescent that night, so like it wasn't a bright moon. Okay. But
was it the night that David Copperfield made the moon disappear?
I looked up and I said, "Dang it, David! I gotta see that guy, David."
How did you do it?
How did you do it? This is an emergency. I gotta see. So this guy's at the end of the block, uh-huh. And he's walking down the block. And the best—he's wearing oversized shirt and oversized pants, and the ends of them are like. I mean, the best way to describe them are rags. Like they're raggy and like I can tell like they're like longer than his wrist, you know?
Okay.
And he's walking down and he is talking like normal volume. He's not like shouting or yelling or even like raising his voice at all. Just talking normal volume. And his voice is 1950s dad. Voice, and you know what I mean,
like transatlantic, that kind of
voice. like the dad from Christmas Story, like that's how he's talking. Where he's like, I won a major award. I can't do the voice, but you
that
know
was,
what
that
I
was
mean.
Close, that's good. I won a major award.
Yeah, that kind of voice. That's like that's how he's talking, and he's saying, "Ron, Ron, here, boy, Ron," and clapping, but like not like, but it's not like you know when people are looking for their dog.
Ron,
and,
Ron, come here, boy.
That's too much. That's too dog-like. Like it was, he was very...
Ron, come here, boy.
Yeah, but it was 1950s dad.
Okay.
And it was like, it is just very ominous the way, and it was very quiet. Like it wasn't like he was...
Come here, boy.
Yeah, it was too quiet for someone looking for their dog. And he walks...
What did you do?
He walks all the way down the block and past my house and like down another block and then turns around and walks all the way down this... back down the block the whole time saying, Ron, come here, boy. In that exact same cadence every time, probably said it 100 times, exact same cadence, and goes all the way back down and walks down and then rounds that corner. And I'm going to be honest with you. That man died 60 years ago and I am so confident.
And he's just wandering the neighborhood?
Yeah, looking for Ron. And Ron is not a dog. That's not a dog name.
What I think probably happened was that he was just walking in the neighborhood. One of your neighbors saw him and was like, Ron, come here, boy. Ron, come here, boy. And then he went, Ron, come here, boy. And like picked it up. So had you said something.
He would pick it up.
Had you like...
Oh, man, I wish I would have tried that.
Yeah.
I would have been like, I have a bomb. And
he's like, I have a bomb.
He's a parrot.
I have a bomb. Yeah.
So I took the dogs inside pretty hurriedly. And then the dogs started saying it.
The dogs like, Ron, come here, boy. Yeah, you know what? This made me think of a more interesting story.
It freaked me out, man. I thought they were going to kill me.
You thought that guy was going to kill you?
Yeah, they were. There's a couple of them.
Well, that's like the guy I told you that yelled at the fire truck and stuff.
Yeah.
But I was at the grocery store. I told you about this. I think I called you. I think we were on the phone when it happened. Where a guy was walking through the grocery store parking lot a couple weeks ago. And like, he was just like, you're holding me back. Hurry up. Like screaming. And there's just no one there, but he's having a full conversation as he's walking. He's like, come on. No, seriously, let's go.
Interesting.
So maybe hear me out.
Same guy.
They're states apart.
Same guy, different dimension.
No.
Oh, brothers.
They're talking to each other.
Yeah.
This is Ron.
Yeah.
Where I live.
Yeah. Ron's over there.
And they are our connection.
Interesting.
Because we're so far apart. Yeah. They're connected through our connection.
Through our connect. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was a crescent moon, right?
Yeah. It was a waxing crescent.
The waxing crescent
yeah,
moon.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's crazy, man.
Seems pretty spooky to me.
It seems pretty likely.
What was the moon like the night that Rudolf Diesel died?
Rudolf Diesel. Okay. So he goes back to his family. And they, long story short, they live in Paris, France.
Rudolf, come here, boy.
The Franco-Prussian War starts. They have to move to London. They get displaced to London. And while they're there, he decides, his family decides, you should live in with your aunt and uncle in Augsburg. And so they move him to Augsburg.
They got one little fight. And they got scared. And said, you're moving with your auntie and uncle in Augsburg.
Augsburg. Thank you. And they send him to college and he gets a scholarship. He wants to study engineering. And his parents are pretty upset about that. They say, we don't think you should do that. We think you should be a farmer.
Family business is a stunt man. Those had to exist back then, right?
It's a stunt man.
I'm going to hate to you. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff at the wall right now. Your job is to inform. My job is to do silly little gags. Your job is to educate. I'm supposed to do a little stupid
stuff.
Do
stunts at the family. Yeah, so he wants to go study engineering. His family's upset about that. Because what about the stunts?
That would make you. That's what I'm saying. Though, is like that would make you too rich. You know, like that's, why would you be upset about that? Like if your kid's like, I want to go be a lawyer, and you're like, no, we own Sonic Drive-ins, and you're gonna run them. Like why would you want to hold your? You know?
Yeah, they believed in farming.
Okay.
And so, I think this was an interesting time in history because this was when farmers were rich. And so farming was the career. Being a doctor, being an engineer, that was new. And it was kind of like the YouTubers. Farmers and doctors were what doctors and YouTubers are
like,
today.
I want to be a doctor. And you're like, shut up, dude.
Yeah, shut up. That's a stupid dream. It's never going anywhere. Like, what are you going to do with that? And now it's like doctors are rich, but in the same thing, YouTubers.
That's why when I go to my doctor's office, he comes in, he's like, hey guys.
Make sure to smash that like button. And you're like looking around the room. You're like, I don't see a.
You can tell me like anything button. And no one will know. It's called confidentiality.
That's a great YouTube channel. A channel called. Hey guys, are watching Confidentiality.
Hey guys, welcome to Doctor's Confidentiality. Here's another recap of all the stuff I did this week.
No, it's a hidden camera show.
Oh no, I like the idea of a doctor giving a recap of his week, but he can't tell you. Here's what I did on Monday. On Tuesday, went to sushi for lunch, and on Wednesday. If you know, you know. Join me next week on another Doctor Recap. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, he can't tell you.
So he goes on to engineering. He graduates.
It's a great TikTok account. I'm going to start that. Hey guys, I'm a therapist, but I'm not allowed to tell you what I talked about. But you know, this week I had a client who, and then I just
mute the whole thing. Yeah. They were sad about stuff. It's pathetic. All right. So 1880, he graduates with a degree in engineering and he gets a job working at a refrigeration plant. At this job, he starts working with steam engines and he gets obsessed with engines, which is like a lot of...
Should have jumped to the interesting stuff first, dude. Trains, right?
I guess.
Yeah, let's do it.
So he starts working on... He develops an engine that works with ammonia vapor, which sounds like probably a bad idea. Like, yeah. Everything I know about ammonia is like, you don't want that vapored. I think.
I don't know.
And so it did blow up in a test run. and it killed him. And that's the whole story.
All right.
No, it nearly killed him. He was in the hospital for months.
Oh, for real?
And he had lifelong health issues and eyesight issues because of that. I don't
and
know
he
if
he gets out of the hospital and he looked at his parents.
Yeah.
They're over here. And he's like, I'm sure you guys are glad for doctors now, huh?
And he got out of the hospital and he can't see at all. He's looking the wrong way. And his dad's like, hey, if I train you how to do stunts, you could be a superhero now. This accident.
Let's do it.
let's do it.
What do I got to lose?
And so he is... like I said, obsessed with engines, and he's strongly believes he's like engines inefficient.
They're, I mean, better than horses and stuff, but like, there's a theoretical level of where this can...
Did they do train racing back in the day? This is actually a real question I'm kind of wondering, but it seems like they would, right?
I don't know why they would.
Like drag racing how they would. Engines?
So you're saying a situation where you've got a racetrack for trains.
Oh, no. I'm saying a drag race. You got two tracks next to each other.
Can we do NASCAR trains? NAS train?
No.
Train?
NAS train, I guess.
Where it's just, you got
the... those two steam engines.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be really a slow sport, but...
Yeah. But if you got like bullet trains, it would honestly be kind of fun. You know, the more I think about it, the more I kind of like this idea.
I like trains, dude.
I don't think they did it.
I'm a big Amtrak guy.
I know.
I was trying to get us trains to out to... Maybe I'll get you that for your birthday. Maybe you can train out to Los Angeles.
I'm not running a train all the way to LA. You know how long that would take?
It's 34 hours.
6 days.
It's 34 hours.
Jeez. It's a long ride.
Yeah, but you get a private bedroom.
Yeah, but you're the train guy.
I love trains.
I'm not a train guy.
No. You would like what I like. No, you like what
you
I like.
You like what I like.
No.
No.
You like what you I like.
Exactly what I... If I like it, you have to like it too.
You like it. That's how best friends
that's
work.
That's how this works. We like the same stuff. Oh, that's my stuff.
Thing. It's our thing.
Okay.
We should go to counseling. I'm pretty mad you do that with your wife, but not with me.
Hey, thanks for checking out our show. If you like it and you want to support, be a part of what we're doing here, you can do that by becoming a patron. What happens there is you get to be in the community. We have a Discord with our hosts and producers. We have a lot of fun. We're super active in there every day. You get access to ad-free content a week before everybody else. And we have a Zoom every month with our patrons. We hang out, we eat pizza, we get to know you a little bit better. It's a blast. And there's a ton of other different benefits like merch discounts, birthday messages, things like that that are super cool. If you want to be in that, you can just text Tillin to 66866 and that'll get you right in there. If not, we're just super glad that you're here, and thanks for watching our show. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained, and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin. TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. So Rudolph Diesel knew about this thing called the Carnot cycle. Carnot cycle? I don't know
what Carne asada. You do the education, I do the good bits. So stupid. Okay, so
the Carnot cycle. I'm not sure.
Okay,
it's the theoretical limit of how efficient an engine could be, and it was developed in like the early 1800s.
Okay,
and so from 0 to 100% is this thing. 100% is the limit. It's as efficient as an engine could possibly be. Steam engines came in at a 10%.
Yeah, pretty.
And so not very efficient. And at the time even lower. Like the peak of steam engines was 10%. When he was working on it, it was like 4%. So they're not very efficient engines, because it takes a lot. Like if you're steam engineing, like you need an engine to produce the steam to then use the steam to actually move the engine.
Right.
And then you've got dudes that are throwing all the coal and like really hot in the bottom of the Titanic, you know?
Yeah.
that was the problem.
Are you saying like physically like like their temperature hot, or are you saying like hot guys do that?
I mean, it's both. You can't move that coal is a good all workout. Day without getting hot.
I was going to say modern day. That is the pre-modern day CrossFit.
Yeah, that is pretty CrossFit-y. Can we start?
You want to get ripped? Dude, just freaking go just, work on a steam train. Just
go
dude.
Work in the Titanic.
Bro, you're looking jacked lately. What do you do? I don't know, man. I eat a lot of protein, and also I shovel coal into a steam engine. So, you know, it is one of my lifelong dreams to drive the train in Silver Dollar City. Like, I want to get boiler experience.
Do you have to have boiler experience to do?
Yeah. Because like the guys who
run...
Is it a
real train?
It's a real steam engine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, the guys who are operating the steam engine know how to do steam stuff. That's probably why they don't let me do it yet, because I call it steam stuff.
Dude, you're so steamy.
Guys, let me join the steam team.
I want to be a steamer.
Can we ask if I can...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, why don't you ask that?
Can we just be in the...
They'll probably let us in, right?
Oh, dude. Sawyer, I know you're listening right now. Can I please
be in the steam?
No conductors allowed. Just me. Let me take the train.
No conductors allowed.
No one's allowed in here but me. No, I feel like there's a safety issue. I feel like they can't let me in the engine.
I don't know. We can ask.
All right.
It's like Jesus take the wheel, but it's Jared,
I feel like we should have
train.
A list of demands. Like we make like, you know, we do the negotiating thing where we put like six of them where it's like clearly not gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, let me stand on top of the roller coaster. That's clearly not gonna, clearly we, not gonna happen. Like, all right, we'll let you cut that one out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, give me a 10% stake in the company.
Well, clearly that's not gonna happen. All right, fine. But I get to be in the engine of the steam, and they're like, okay, yeah. I mean, of all the demands you've made, that's probably the
most realistic. We can grant that one. Yeah, great. That's a good idea. He meets a guy by the name of Von Lind, who owns a corporation that builds stuff.
Yeah.
And so he goes there and he starts researching this Carnot cycle and how he can build a more efficient engine. The first kind of addition to that was this ammonia vapor engine. And long story short, it led to him being able to develop this theoretical engine that he published a paper to go with it that was supposed to be super efficient.
Sure.
And as a result of that that paper, a company by the name of Maschinenfabrik Augsburg called him up and was like, hey, you want a job? And he's like, I got a job. And they're like
nah,
you got a better job.
Yeah.
And so basically, they hired him to come just develop this engine.
Okay.
And they're like, your whole job is to come and test and build this engine and make it a real thing. So he worked there from 1893 to 1897, and he emerged with the diesel engine.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so this engine was a very significant engine because if you don't know how a diesel engine works, a normal engine.
Yeah.
What happens?
I really don't. So I'm very excited.
So a normal engine, what happens is the fuel mixture comes into the piston, and you've got that the fuel and the air mixture. The piston fires and moves and compresses your fuel air mixture. A spark plug ignites it, and then that spark makes it explode, fires the piston back down, and it moves the exhaust out, and that exhaust makes everything move. And that's how a traditional engine works. So there's a lot of kind of components that are moving in there. In a diesel engine, it starts similar. You have the fuel air mixture that pumps in. The piston begins at a lower state and then compresses it. And actually, instead of a spark igniting it, it just compresses it so much that it ignites. And so it's just a ridiculous amount of compression that blows up the mixture. And then it just goes straight into the exhaust. So you're taking a component out of the cycle. And you have to use a specific kind of fuel with this to make that work. And that fuel, allegedly, is less flammable. And so, like, you can't just, like, catch it on fire. It's not supposed to explode on its own, like gasoline.
Right.
It just blows up sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Smoke near it.
Dude, the amount of people who smoke at gas stations is pretty bonkers.
It is insane.
You're like, hey, I get that you don't care about your life, but I care about mine.
Which it's wild because the amount of people who smoke anywhere else is really low now. Like,
yeah.
Like, think about like, all the places
you've seen. Oh, gosh, you took it away from me and my favorite bars and my favorite restaurants. Give me one place that I can still do it. And you're like, okay.
The only place
I hear you
see it is
I understand,
gas station.
But like, the gas station's not the one place, dude.
Yeah. That is insane that you say that.
How about public parks or preschools? Honestly, either of those are better than the gas station.
None of those kids are going to blow up. At least I don't think they are.
I don't think so.
What are you made of, kid?
Have you seen the diesel monster truck?
Are they not normally diesel?
No.
Really? That's kind of surprising to
those
me.
Those are huge engines.
Yeah, but semi-trucks are diesel.
These are like muscle car like engines. These are huge. You haven't been to a monster truck show?
No. We've talked about this before.
We wanted to go.
Yeah.
Frick.
Yeah.
Okay, but a couple years ago, Monster Jam introduced a diesel. And I'll be honest with you, it's not as efficient as the other ones. It's not.
Is it really?
It's definitely not as cool.
Really?
Yeah, because, first of all, monster trucks are loud.
Loud. Yeah.
And then this one's just like, and you're like, you sound like a dentist. You know?
You sound like a dentist.
You're like, dude, get out of here, man.
Do you like watch monster truck rallies? Like I know you've been to them, but do you like watch them like on TV?
Bro, I'm not going to lie to you. Some of the highlights are pretty cool.
That's the most small town thing you do, honestly.
That's fine. I don't care. if I'll be honest with you, if that's the most white trash thing about me, I'll take it.
That's fine, I guess. That's fine.
Monster trucks are cool. First of all, everyone comment and talk about how cool monster trucks are. And if you don't know, like, I get that it's one of those things that, like, you see videos of it and you're like, I guess, but like when we go, which we will.
Yeah.
When you feel those in, it's cool, man.
Okay.
It's one of those things that I will say
I went to a drag race once and it was pretty crazy.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about. Drag races are awesome.
It was pretty intense.
Monster trucks, even better.
Huh.
Because they're just going, drag races are just going straight forward, you know, and then back.
Yeah.
You know?
But the monster trucks are going straight forward and then rolling.
Yeah. And I mean, like, the drag races too, you got a lot of...
You got the Westboro Baptists outside.
You know what I'm saying? You got the people out there being like, we hate this, you know? And
cool cars.
You get where I'm going.
So he...
RuPaul is up there. I guess I don't know the difference between... No, but monster trucks are pretty stinking.
Honestly,
cool.
That'd be a way to bridge the gap if they did a drag race.
We've talked about this before.
Have we talked about this?
Have we not?
I don't think we
if
have.
If RuPaul this was the host of drag race. Like drag race.
That'd be cool. Anyways, so he makes this engine. He comes out with it, makes the patent.
Yeah.
People are like, whoa, this engine's crazy. Like this is a good engine.
Like a good one.
And to the point where this engine is operating on the Carnot sale at a 75% efficiency.
Oh, wow.
So they're going from like single digits to 75% efficiency. This is changing the market. For reference, most cars on the road today, they have like a maximum expectation that they would be at about a 50% efficiency.
Right.
But they're really only operating like 20 to 40 because of emissions and cost. So they like downgrade them. So they're like 20 to 40% efficiency. So this is, even for today's standards, like a very efficient engine that he produces.
Right.
And the market loses their mind. They're like, we need all of these engines.
Yeah.
So he builds a business and he leaves his company, builds this business, and he starts producing this engine and producing like licenses for other people to produce this engine as well. And he becomes a millionaire in 1 year.
Cool.
And so he's a very wealthy man, traveling the world, acquiring patents in countries worldwide. And he kind of becomes like an Elon Musk of his time. Like he becomes like this really famous businessman, entrepreneur that everyone's reading about.
But also
about
his name is Rudolph. It's a name that's like... needs to make a comeback, I think.
Yeah, that's
Rudy.
Is that what Rudy was short for?
Yes.
Did they ever mention that in the movie?
What do you think it was short for?
I just thought it was Rudy.
Rudithy?
I didn't think it was short for anything. I just thought it was Rudy.
No, Rudolph.
Did they mention that? Did they say that in the movie?
I don't know, but that's usually what it's short. They'd be like, wait, you're telling me Tim is short for Timothy? Did they say that in the movie? You're like, no, but it's usually short for Timothy.
The reason, like,
most people aren't named just Tim because that's stupid.
Okay. Anyways, so he's traveling around. And
if your birth certificate says Tim, I think you'd be annoyed at that, right? You'd be like, guys, it's Timothy. You would be annoyed at that. Am I not wrong?
Not really, honestly. Because I get very uncomfortable with people calling me Timothy.
Okay.
That feels weird.
Yeah, and not even your parents called you that.
Yeah, my parents don't call me Tim. They don't call me my name.
They called you Oops.
So this
engine. Come here, Ron.
Come here, Ron. Yes, Dad. My name is Tim. I don't care.
I forgot it long ago.
This engine is sweeping the globe. He is going to these expos talking about the fuel source because Here's the thing. Diesel fuel is not diesel fuel like we think of today.
Yes.
Diesel fuel was, at the time, vegetable oils. And so he's going to farms and he's being like, hey, you've got a lot of this vegetable oil lying around from when you juice your carrots.
My favorite is when I can see your eyes. Like, you're like, you're not going to make it through this. When you juice your carrots or whatever, you can clearly tell that Tim has no idea how farming works at all. You guys have a lot of this laying around from when you juice your carrots.
So he's basically telling farmers, he's like, hey, you can grow your fuel. You don't have to buy it anymore.
Farmers are like, you can have all of our carrot juice.
Farmers love it. Gas companies hate him.
Okay.
And this is different because diesel fuel now is gasoline that's like refined in its special way. They just recently came out
Bail out of vegetable oil?
They just recently came out with biodiesel, which is like a refined vegetable oil. I just recently brought that back.
And the oil industry is like, hey.
Well, so this is big. He's traveling around the country selling this stuff for about 10 years. And on September 29th, 1913... he is on board the SS Dresden to meet with the Consolidated Diesel Manufacturing Company in London. And this is the ship. I got a nice, this is a picture. This is a photograph of the ship.
That looks familiar.
And here's the guy, actually. This is him.
Oh.
And here he is with one of his engines, like his first prototype of the engine.
Okay.
Very cool.
So this is now 10 years later. He's very rich and he's going to visit a manufacturer in London.
In London.
Who is just making his designs.
Yeah. Well, they're not making them yet. So this is a meeting to like secure the business.
Oh, right? Got it. Okay.
With them. And yeah,
but they've already committed to the name of their company.
I mean, I guess they're like, yeah,
it was implied.
We're going to get it.
That's what I'm saying. It was implied that they'd already been making it, but I guess,
Yeah. So he's on his way to meet with them, which you mentioned it. I do want to acknowledge this. You mentioned this. This is 2 years after, but he did have a ticket on board the Titanic, and he didn't board it. Because he
was like late for work that day or something. What's you know what I'm saying?
No,
he didn't go because
why was Michael
Jackson not in the, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about. Like I think I know what you're talking about, but I have never heard that in my life. Are you Googling it right now?
Okay. So he was supposed to have a meeting in the building.
Oh.
And
that
slept
makes more
in.
Sense. Oh wow.
Missed his meeting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty common story. It's similar what happened for him. He was supposed to be on the Titanic. He had a ticket for the Titanic, but he had an extra meeting that popped on his calendar. So he missed the exit of the Titanic for that extra meeting.
Wow.
To secure that business. Yeah. There's like notes in his diary of him talking about it. He kept a diary.
Okay.
So we know a lot about him from his diary.
Yeah. That's why I keep, when you write in your diary, do you have like a journal?
No, yeah, I don't do that because I don't want people to be able to trace stuff to me.
So I was talking to my wife about this because she journals a lot. She journals more than I do.
Yeah. Is it one of those journals from like Nickelodeon that has a lock on it?
Yeah, and like opens code. And like one of the pages is just full slime. we're adults. Shut up, Tim. Timothy. So no, is we're talking about that when you write. There's a part of you that's like, what if somebody reads this one day? So you like want to sound very dramatic about some things.
Yeah. I did that for a little bit.
We're never truly alone. We're never done performing is essentially what's that. You know, like even in your private thoughts, you're never really letting down that. Like, what if someone reads this?
Yeah, that's true. I tried it for a minute, but it was like a spiritual thing, like journaling.
Oh yeah. And then you quit that job of the church. You gave up on all that.
No, it was like
then you got into your weird spiritual stuff you're into now. Sorry, we can cut this.
September 29th, 1913. He's on board the SS Dresden heading to that manufacturing company that's very bold with their name to meet with them.
Suddenly, the CIA pushes a giant iceberg.
What's that guy doing over there with that big piece of ice? It's one guy in a kayak. Just kayaking the iceberg into place.
I was thinking he was on top of it. He was on top of the iceberg. Oh, it's like what are those guys in the gondolas called? What are those striped shirts?
I think they call them
trapeze. They're at the Venetian. And you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, 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 they're called what?
Trapeze.
Okay.
And
he's steering the iceberg into the ship.
There's a couple on their honeymoon and he's singing.
La, 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 la.
It's so romantic out here. So Diesel has dinner on board the ship and he returns to his room at about 10 p.m. and he asks for a wake-up call at 6:15 a.m. Why he's waking up that early on board the ship, I don't know. I don't think they had a gym yet. You look at that ship and it's...
You'd be surprised the number of people on cruises who get up and go to the gym in the morning. It's actually... it was pretty annoying.
Yeah, but I mean, like if you, like a modern cruise, sure, but this boat...
No,
this
I'm boat saying like, have a gym. Even on the modern cruise, I got up and I would go to the gym because I work here. This is yeah. I'm at work right now.
Yeah.
Why are you guys here?
Yeah. Yeah. You're one of the shipmates.
You're on vacation.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah. You never work out on vacation?
I mean,
vacation
I do.
Workouts
I do
because are the best I'm kind of workouts.
Better
though.
Than you.
Oh my gosh.
Vacation workouts are the best kind of workouts?
Yeah. They're much more relaxing. Like they're like.
Yeah. Cause you're. Why?
Cause it's like if you like a workout during your work week, you're like, oh, I got to get out of here. I got to go get stuff done. But that you have nothing. And so you just kind of like. You just
yeah,
enjoy
but I feel
it.
Like
just
I'm missing it. my vacation.
Well, I mean, if you do it later in the day, like if you do it, like wake up early and like you set the time for it, like it's nicer because it, you don't feel like that tug to like I gotta be doing something else. I gotta be somewhere
else. I felt
else.
That whenever I was when we did Google last, I got up and I was doing my cardio in the morning.
Yeah, but our days were starting at 6 a.m.
I know, so and I was getting up. I was getting up at like 4:45.
Yeah, so you still you feel I gotta.
I felt great.
Get out of here.
I still feel great.
I felt awful that trip because I was not working out and I was eating terribly.
Remember how bad my voice was because of medieval times?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually watched a clip of that the other day and I was like, oh man, I could see it in my face trying to struggle to get the words out.
We learned a lesson.
Yeah. Medieval times is an after the event.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you like this and you want more of our show, we've got plenty of other episodes. One of my favorites is Action Park, a super sketchy theme park that was basically overrun by teenagers and they just made the rules. It was in New Jersey. It was a wild story, but we did a whole episode about it and I think you'd like it. So when you're done with this one, go check out that episode. But for now, back to this one.
He asks for a 6:15 wake-up call. At 6:15, one of the shipmates comes up to his room and finds that it's empty. His bed is made and it does not look like it's been slept in, like it's currently made. His nightshirt is neatly laid out on the bed, which is an old thing. People don't do that anymore.
So just to be clear though, the 6:15 wake up call was someone coming into your room at the time. I guess. There's no phone.
Yeah, there's yeah.
Someone has to come with. Lean in so I can touch you.
Kid.
Hey.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
It's 6:16.
No, I said 6:15.
Well, I tried.
Throw him overboard. Walk the plank. That's a dead guy right there. That guy looks dead. His nightshirt is laid on the bed, something we don't do anymore. They used to wear shirts at night.
Sure.
At night. We don't wear shirts after the clock strikes 10.
Just in case. I got tired of mine ripping when I turned into a werewolf. What are you talking about? So he laid on his nightshirt.
He laid on his nightshirt nice neatly on the bed. His watch was on.
So he had never gone to bed.
His watch was on the side table, like facing the bed as if he was like wanting to be able to like just open his eyes and see the time. You know what I'm talking about? You
6:16.
Ever do that? So they were like, where is he at? This is peculiar. Where's the guy that I was supposed to wake up? Why isn't he in this room?
Yeah.
they look around the ship, and near the railing of the ship at one area of the boat, they find his hat and his overcoat like neatly folded next to the railing of the ship. So they said, oh, it looks like this guy jumped overboard in the middle of the night. For what reason? Who knows?
Yeah.
The motive here is strange, why he would do that. There's not a note. He did in his diary leave a cross on that day, just a picture of a cross. And that was all that was in his diary.
That was all?
Yeah.
A little cryptic.
Yeah, very cryptic. He did, this is an important detail, he did empty his bank account. And then before he left on this trip, he gave his wife a bag and said, don't open this until next week. And the bag was full of 20,000 German marks, which is equivalent to about 120,000 US dollars today. And then they didn't find him at first, but about a week later, a tugboat was sailing in the same area. I don't know if sailing is the right term for a tugboat. Tugging. The same area. And they found the body like floating. So they pulled it in and they looked at it and they're like, I think that's just that guy.
I think this guy's dead.
That guy that died. Oh my gosh, it's Elon Musk. And so they took some personal effects off him and they threw him back out. It was catch and release. No, they really did that though, because they said they didn't have room on board.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they said they didn't have room on board for a body, so they threw him back in. They took some effects, threw him back overboard.
What? That's not true.
That's 100% true. The catch and release to this guy. And they took those personal effects and gave them to the police, and the police brought them to this Diesel's son. And Diesel was like, yeah, this is my dad's stuff for sure.
What? Okay.
And so it was ruled a suicide. But there's a lot of questions about
that. And he's just still at sea. Like, they just left him out there?
Yeah, they left him just somewhere. He's in the ocean somewhere. Probably not anymore. But yeah, they just threw him back out there.
Yeah. He's probably in your neighborhood.
Ron.
Ron.
Come here.
Come here, Ron. Come here, Ron. Here's the thing. There's a lot of people who've got some motives in this situation.
Okay.
Obviously.
Like the oil company.
Obviously, the oil companies.
Big oil.
There's the gasoline engine is developing alongside the diesel engine. They were one and the same at the same time building these engines. And they're starting to become pretty competitive with each other. Like, what's going to be the better one and what's going to be more widely used in the world of engineering stuff. there was one guy in particular that a lot of people have pointed to as the potential person who could be behind this plot. And it's this man. Do you know who that is?
He looks like Slender Man's grandpa.
Yeah, that's actually pretty accurate. This is John D. Rockefeller.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And he looks like a killer. Here's some things we know about John D. Rockefeller. One, he was a billionaire.
Yeah.
Depending on who you listen to and what numbers, he might have been a trillionaire, like adjusted for inflation. He was like the top of the petroleum industry.
Okay.
And so he was selling fossil fuels and things like that. And he got very, very, very like ungodly rich off of it. So much so that he became kind of insane. Something that a lot of people don't remember Rockefeller for was his relationship with the Pinkertons. You know who the Pinkertons are?
No.
The Pinkertons were like a private police force. Nationwide at that time.
Yeah.
And he used them a lot, primarily for union busting. And so there'd be...
Yes. Okay. I remember this.
His companies that would start to unionize, he would send the Pinkertons and they would literally kill a bunch of people and then they wouldn't unionize. And they'd be like, oh, it was an accident. You know, that was the Pinkertons.
Oh, they had the warehouse caught on fire with all those people inside. If only they had safer working conditions, the union should really work on that.
Yeah, the union should do that. It'd be good for them to do that for you. They were, I shouldn't say fairly confident, but there's a conspiracy that John Rockefeller was behind a plot with the Pinkertons. A lot of people don't recognize this. EVs were also happening at this time. They were coming into the market the same time as the diesel engine and the traditional gas engine.
In the early 1900s.
Yes. And there was actually an entire fleet of electronic taxis in New York that were functional and they were driving around New York, like transporting people in New York.
No one driving it.
Well, it wasn't. There was people driving them.
They weren't autonomous.
Yeah, but they were electronic vehicles.
I think I've seen an old video where they replaced the battery in a car.
Maybe.
And it's like a big battery on the front.
Maybe, yeah. Because yeah, they had these chargers all over New York City, and they had these taxis that were fully electric taxis in the early 1900s.
The oil industry, dude.
And Henry Ford, he had produced the Model T, and he also was working on EVs at the same time. And so he had an electric Model T that he was working on. And he had a whole plant.
Really?
He had a whole plant that was producing these things and like researching these things. And it mysteriously caught fire and burned down, lost all of that, the progress. And he ended up canning the concept after that because he was like, it's too much money to reinvest back into this. It's just a total loss.
We should do more on that for sure.
And there's always been the theory that the Pinkertons set that fire and the Pinkertons were hired by Rockefeller.
Yeah.
To set that fire. We don't know for sure. But it does look like...
Oh, we don't know who did it.
It does look like Rockefeller hired some people to burn that thing down. And so it's not outside the realm of possibility that Rockefeller was like, this guy's diesel engine is going to take out my petroleum money need to kill him. And I've got people who can do that. And so they put him on board that ship. Well, he built a boat and sunk it and was like, dang, he missed the boat. And so then he's like, maybe we could do a less collateral damage.
Try it again.
Let's try to just push him overboard the next one.
Yeah.
He hired the Pinkertons, and then he saw the Titanic thing. And was like, that is not what I expected you guys to do. That's way too much.
Why did you do that?
Like, you could have just pushed him off the ship. That's what I meant. That's a better, much better idea. But John, the movie about this?
You said break him in half, not break the boat in half. I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah. You said put it at the bottom of
Mr.
the ocean.
Mr. Rockefeller, hey, listen. I'm just a guy who goes out and makes stuff. I'm just dumb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you said sink it, I didn't realize you were calling him the it.
That's on me.
I didn't realize you didn't think of him as a person. I should have known that.
I will drown him, and then I'll make sure if he's found, they leave him at the sea.
He drowns him. They pull his body up out of the boat. And then here comes this guy
in scuba gear. Yeah,
he just comes out of the water. He's like, throw that body back in the water.
Give me back my body. What?
He's like, put that body back where it came from now. And they're like, we need to listen to the sea man.
You don't the sea man. We need to listen to this guy of the sea.
He just came out of the ocean and told us to put the body back. We're going to put the body back.
Okay? Don't tell anyone you saw me. Don't tell no one you saw me.
And then he walks back underwater, and they're in the middle of the ocean. He just can't touch the bottom. He walks like Godzilla. And they're like, it's 800 feet deep here.
They're like, no one's going to believe us. Let's just say we didn't have room in the boat.
There was no room in the boat. We caught so many fish. The guy told us to throw the boat.
We pulled this guy into the boat. We're like, there's no room in the boat, but there's a manger out back.
You can go sleep in there. There's a guy playing
drums.
You can
go eternally sleep in there. All right.
So could be John D. Rockefeller, right?
Probably.
Well, there's this other guy by the name of Kaiser Wilhelm II.
He did it. Look at him.
He's not in the army. This was their Silver Dollar City. It was a 1700s theme park.
One of those photo booths where you like dress up and do the whole thing, but you can dress up as like a military general. I like that.
No, yeah, this guy was the Emperor of Germany. He was the last Emperor of the German Empire.
Yeah. No, not the...
Well, the German Empire. Like, so... Prussia, I believe, was its like technical name, but it's the German Empire. He was the last emperor of it. Diesel was from German descent, but Diesel was kind of a tough guy to pin down because, like I said, painting his backstory, he was a German descent guy, but he was born in Paris, France, and then he moved to London, lived on that farm for a little bit, and then moved to Augsburg. So he was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
He worked for that German company while he was developing his thing, the Mannschienes Fabrik company. But he was frustrated with
them, and what the reason why he left initially was like they were having, they didn't want him to go international. They wanted to keep it in Germany.
Yeah.
And so he left them and started producing it internationally.
And they were like, no, we didn't like that.
And they didn't like that. And he didn't like that either. Well, here's the thing. Germany at the time was trying to expand their navy to build a stronger navy to be able to compete with Great Britain.
Right.
Because the Royal Britain Navy was really, the Royal British Navy was really good. He died 1913.
Yeah, so I mean, like, Germany was going for it with the World War, right?
Yeah, so World War One begins about 7 to 8 months from here.
Got it.
And so
that's Germany.
Yeah, yeah.
Germany's like, we want to do it.
Yeah. So Germany, almost a year to the day, actually, Germany declares war on Russia and France, and World War One begins.
Yes.
So Germany is rapidly expanding their navy. And the thing with the diesel engines is they were much more efficient and they were great for boats. And more importantly, this sweet new thing called submarines. They called them U-boats at the time because they didn't have good names yet.
They're like underboats. Oh, that sounds dumb. That sounds Let's just call weird. It U.
Yeah, yeah. And so remember the point of this trip, though. The trip he's going to meet with the Consolidated.
London.
Yeah, which is a British company that already named itself after the diesel.
So this guy did it.
So there's some motive for Germany to be like, no, we don't want them to get their hands on that technology.
Yeah.
We have it. We're producing it. We can't let the Brits be able to have good engines like we're going to have because we're about to declare war on them for the cool big world war. So there's some motivation there. And this guy's a big, big mean empire guy. So you could see it, right? Here's my favorite theory though. The British Empire is who he was on his way to go meet. The Germans obviously wanted this technology and obviously didn't want the British to have this technology.
Right.
There may have been a plot already in place for the Germans to take Rudolf Diesel out. So what the British said is they said, come meet with us and you're going to die. Leave your wife a bunch of money. You're never going to see her again. And we're going to take you to Canada where you can now develop diesel engines.
So, you're saying there is no body in the ocean.
Well, the body in the ocean was, there was a body in the ocean. Or there might not have been.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like if you have his artifacts.
Yeah.
And then you can say, hey, a tugboat.
Yeah. They could have faked that.
But they didn't bring back the body because there was no room on the boat. Or there was some guy in the ocean who said, hey, put that body back.
Put that body back.
So we couldn't bring you the body because the sea guy told us not to.
Yeah.
The sea ghoul told us not to.
It is me, the sea ghoul. Can you say that again? I can't understand you.
What's more?
Spit the water out.
Seagull.
Seagull, you're a bird?
You're going to join me too.
Give me the body and
no,
that
but
guy.
That's what I'm saying is that they could have just taken the artifacts off of a live person.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And yeah,
and then taking it to his son and been like, see, your
see, look, your dad.
Because that's what I'm saying. There's
we
no
got
body.
Him really wet. Yeah,
bodies in the ocean, quote unquote.
Yeah, and a couple months after his death,
it makes Rockefeller happy. It makes the Germans happy.
Well, a couple months after his death, a Canadian company makes a breakthrough in diesel engines, and they start producing engines for the Royal British Navy.
Okay,
that is a big advancement for them.
So
in
they
the
did
war.
It.
It seems pretty likely that they faked his death.
I believe that they did it.
And they, so that way they could get an edge on.
Yeah.
On
Rockefeller's innocent. Completely. Rockefeller's never done anything wrong. That guy
that's the face
screams,
of a man who never breaks the law.
That's a guy whose grandkids love him. You know? That's a guy who he knows his children's names. That's a guy who would always put public interest above his own greed.
That's a guy who, when they say we need to increase shareholder value, he said, forget about the shareholders. It's about the planet. It's about the good of everyone.
That's a guy, when you say his name three times, he doesn't show up. Tell you that.
That's a guy who's never bit into someone's neck and sucked all the blood
out of
their body.
You'll never run into that guy in the woods.
So yeah, so there's some mystery here. Rudolf Diesel made the diesel engine pretty cool. They changed it. They changed it so that way
Rockefeller can still get a lot of money. He can still get paid. Right. But it was a pretty big deal and they killed him for it, maybe.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Can you hold that a little longer? I was going to do that for the thumbnail.
Okay. That's pretty wild.
Your water bottle's in the way.
Sorry. That's just...
Your laptop's in the way.
Okay, let's...
My coffee mug's in the way. Is that what you want on YouTube?
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, all right. I mean... Yeah.
Yeah, we can fiddle that off.
Okay, that was a weird ending.
We left that for... I mean, I wanted to fiddle it off, and then you made me pose.
I was trying to think of something to end it with, but...
Do you want
to
end it on a different note?
No, we've already said it. You've already said the F word. And... Hey, thanks for being here for this episode of Things I Learned Last Night. If you like this and you want more episodes, I recommend listening to the Stanley Meyer episode. As a scientist who made an engine that ran on water, supposedly, and you know the story of how he toured it around, and then another conspiracy on the end of his life.
At Olive Garden.
At Olive Garden. That's right. So if you want to watch that episode or listen to it, the link is in the description of this one. Thanks for checking out our show and being here. If you want next week's episode right now, join us on Patreon, and we'd love to have you there. So if not, we'll see you next week on Things I Learned Last Night.